Hi, this is Georgie Young. I'm with Molly Sue Whipple, and we are doing an interview on Leap Day, February 29th, 2008. And we're at Sunnyside Retirement Home in Molly Sue's room. So say hello, Molly Sue.
Hello, hello.
Molly Sue, how long did you live in the Brownsburg area? Were you born in Brownsburg?
No, I came to Brownsburg to teach school in 1952. That's not right, I think. And anyway, I boarded at the McNutts.
Tell us about the McNutts.
Oh, they were an interesting farm family. She just worked all the time. He was the funniest little man. He milked cows, and we'd watch him in the mornings go out to milk the cow, and he'd sit there milking the cow and go to sleep, with his head poked in the flank of the cow, and go to sleep. And we would watch him laugh. After a while, the cow would switch his tail around, hit him in the head, wake him up, and he'd get up and bring the milk on in the house. That was a wonderful place to board. We had a nice room, and Ms. McNutt was an excellent cook. She had wonderful meals, and it was all homegrown. She worked so hard all summer, canning all this food and preserving it to have in the winter, and we always had the most delicious country ham, and we packed lunches. She gave us not only breakfast and dinner at night, but lunch. So we packed our lunch for each day. At school, we had no lunchroom. You took your lunch, and we had wonderful lunches. So I enjoyed my years there. I lived there 5 years, I think, before I got married. I met Fred, my husband, while I was teaching, and we went together, I think, 4 years, maybe five, and we got married in 1940.
Did Fred serve in the war?
Yeah, Fred was in Tokyo,
wow,
Japan, during the war, and Fred was 2 years old when he left.
Goodness, that was tough.
And before he left, he told Freddie he would be the man of the house. He had to take care of me. He was going to be away. And Freddie had to take care of me. And he took that so seriously. He's still doing it. And I tell you, he was so cute. Because I would go to walk somewhere and he'd say, "Wait now, Mama, let me hold your hand. Dad said to take care of you." So anyway, it got to be a funny joke. And he was gone 2 years. And I stayed in Brownsburg. And in Goshen, my home part of the time. But I kept my home and we stayed there because I thought that's where my child needed to be, in his own home.
How about the farm, Fred's farm and the dairy farm?
Yeah, when he came back from the war, we had dairy cattle.
Right out there in Brownsburg, right behind
right
your
there
house?
In Brownsburg, right in the middle of town. We had a barn on one side of the street and dairy barn on the other side. And they picked up our milk there, I think from Harrisonburg. They ran a truck 2 or 3 times a week and picked up the milk from our dairy cows. And we were in dairy business a long time. I don't know how long. Anyway, I was teaching school all this time, and I just had to walk up the hill to the school, so I didn't need a car. What else?
Where did you, what did you have daycare for your kids, or did you,
I had a real good help, a colored girl that lived there in town. She cleaned house for me and did chores and kept my children. And if something happened and she couldn't come, I just took him to school. I was teaching primary grades, and I know I took Fred several times because I had no one to keep him. And he was a real good child, so the children loved having him come. They wanted to entertain him all day. And it was about 5 years before I had another child, before Sue came.
Sue's 5 years younger than Freddie?
Mm-hmm. 6 years.
6 years.
She's 6 years younger than Fred. And I think I still had the same help when she came along. I don't remember that.
How about Miss Trimmer?
She was the principal. Miss Trimmer was the principal, and she ran more like a military outfit than anything. I mean, you lined up when the bell rang to go into class, you would line up at doors and wait for her to, we called a reading the riot act. She would give us new rules and tell everybody what they were doing wrong. And then we marched in by the beat of a drum, one class at a time. And I know, regardless of the weather, you lined up outside and marched into your room.
So the children didn't come too early to school because they didn't want to have to stand outside in winter.
Well, they all rode school bus.
Oh.
All the children were bussed in. Nobody drove to school except some of the teachers. But, and they were all country children. All lived out in the country. And they had many problems.
How about, was there anything that ever happened in Brownsburg that was really exciting while you were living there that you remember very distinctly as?
No, I really don't. I don't remember. We drove, one of the teachers boarded at McNutt's with me, and she had a car. So we drove into the village about a mile and a half, I guess, to teach school. And we drove her car. And the children all came to school on school buses.
And how did you meet Fred?
Well, he was a local boy. And he was going to school at AMA at the time. And he came home, I guess, for weekends or something. Anyway, I met him. And his brother, I had met his brother before, Doug. And Doug called and asked me if I would go up to a movie with him, his brother. So I'd never met Fred, so I told him, yeah, I'd go with him. So we went to the movie. And then Fred and I dated from then on. And 4 years later, we got married.
How fun. And when did all the different stores close? How did that happen?
Oh, there were 5 stores in Brownsburg at one time. And one was the Farm Bureau. And at that time, there were 5 grocery stores, the bank, a telephone exchange office, and a garage, and what else? It was a busy little town.
Where was the Farm Bureau?
In the store that is Dick Barnes' house now.
In his house?
Uh-huh. And
and then the across the street where his antique shop was a grocery store.
And there was a garage. Mr. Pete Caldwell ran the garage around the corner from the store. And he repaired cars. He always had a lot of cars in there working on them. And the telephone exchange. And Saturday night was a busy, busy time in Brownsburg. Everybody came to town. You couldn't find a place to park hardly if you didn't come early. And they brought produce, eggs and butter, milk, and exchanged at the store for groceries. And the store stayed open, seemed to me, forever. We had a store. And that store stayed open till 10 o'clock at night. And people just loafing and talking. And the men loafed in the stores, and the women loafed in cars, would park on the street, and they would move from car to car and visit each other. And the kids played up and down the sidewalk. It was a busy time Saturday night.
And the Weitzels had a store?
The Weitzels had a store, the Huffmans had a store, the Farm Bureau had a store, Mr. Supinger had a store, and the men, oftentimes it was a time of, they'd have drinks and get drunk and fight, many fights. And one night one of the men got in a fight with Mr. Supinger, and they ran out on the street. Mr. Supinger carried his huge butcher knife with him. And the guy that he was fighting deviled up some rocks. And Mr. Supinger said, you dirty coward, you want to fight with rocks. And he was standing there with this big butcher knife to carve him up. It was very entertaining on Saturday night. What else?
How about the church?
The church was a thriving church, an old church. New Providence. When was it organized?
Oh, it was organized in 1746.
46. And we had something like 500 members.
Wow.
Then, because everybody came in there. It was the only little church in the village. And there was a colored church, too, the Methodist church. So the black folks had their church as well. I played for their church 1 year till they got someone to play for it. Every Sunday afternoon, I'd go to the colored church and play for church service.
Oh, how wonderful. Because you couldn't go in the morning because you
no,
were playing
I was
the
in
organ.
My church, that's right.
How long were you the organist?
I was the organist at New Providence for 33 years.
Wow. When did you do, had you always known how to play the organ? Or?
No, no. They gave me a lesson. I went into Lexington, and the organist at Presbyterian Church in Dash showed me about the organ and told me how to do it. So I just kind of taught myself and practiced every Saturday. I go to church and practice the organ and get music ready for Sunday.
Did you, was this because you played the piano?
And mm-hmm. I played the piano, so I knew how to do that. But I had never touched the organ. But I loved playing the pipe organ. I mean, people would start dragging the music. I'd just put in another lad, stop, and go right on and play. They would catch up and sing right along with me. So we didn't have dragging music.
And did you have more than one service on Sunday morning with all those people?
No, we just had the one service.
11 o'clock.
Sunday, we had Sunday school
mm-hmm.
and church service.
And was Dr. McLaughlin the...
Yes, Dr. McLaughlin was there a long time. And I can't remember, we had many ministers, I can't remember who all there were. But
was he the minister when you got there?
I don't know, I think he was, but I don't remember. I'm 92 years old, I don't remember a whole lot.
You remember an awful lot, don't tell me that. And how about at school? Did anything exciting ever happen at school?
Always, always. Because all the children came in on school buses.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody walked to school. They weren't close enough. And
how about the children in the village? Did they walk?
Yeah, but there weren't very many children in the village. But they did walk, those that were there. Walked. I know I had first and second grades. And I think there was something like 50 students. So they decided that was too many students for one teacher, and they got another teacher for the second grade, and I had the first grade.
And is that what you taught the whole time? I thought you told me once that you you were the gym teacher for a while, was that?
Oh yeah, that was part of my schedule.
That was because you were athletic, right?
I had that with my own, with my class. And I taught PE and I music. One day a week or 2 days a week, I don't remember. I had the other classes for music class, teach them songs.
So that's when you started playing the piano for groups?
Yeah, right. And I don't remember when I started playing for church.
Did they know that you played the piano and just come and ask you
mm-hmm.
if you'd be willing to be the organist
mm-hmm.
at the church?
Yeah.
And you were the organist till Carol Griffin came to the church.
I was. Long time. 33 years.
Wow.
And it was played for church on Sunday morning and choir practice Sunday evening. Then I played for the colored church for a couple of years. They didn't have anyone. So I'd go up there at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon and play for that church. That was a piano. But that was fun. They loved to sing.
That's right.
So they would really sing. I mean, that old church would rock.
Yeah. Presbyterians are a little more circumspect about their singing.
That's right.
Well, this is wonderful, Molly Sue. Do you have anything else you want to tell us about? How about tell us about Fred and his dogs?
Sheepdogs.
His border collies.
Those border collies, when we first got married, he had bird dogs. And I never could take the bird dogs in the house and love them and pet them because they were working dogs. You'll ruin my dogs. Don't take them in the house. All right. So then we had border collies. We got sheep, and we had border collies, and they were the smartest dogs. We let them. He'd let them over the kennel and say, go bring sheep in. And they would run way down the path there and then over the hill where you couldn't even see them. After a while, they'd come back with the sheep. And one time they came back and one of the dogs, we had two, one of them went back over the hill. And I said, where's that dog going? He said, oh, probably jumped a groundhog somewhere and gone back to get it. But anyway, after a while, that dog came back over the hill with his tiny little lamb. And he'd nudge that lamb along, and then he'd lay down and rest, let the lamb rest. And then he'd get up and get the lamb up and push it along. And it took him about an hour to get down off that hill into the barn with that little lamb. But the little lamb was in good shape when he got to the barn. It wasn't worn out.
That's amazing.
And that was interesting, the sheep I loved. When the sheep, sometimes they would be born on a really cold night, and they wouldn't survive. They'd die. It got so chilled. But Fred brought this lamb to the house one day. I kept a pasteboard box in the kitchen to keep the lambs in. So he brought this little lamb up and put it in the box one cold, cold morning. And he said, I don't think this lamb's going to make it. It's almost frozen. So I kept watching the lamb, and the little thing was laying in the box. And I thought, you poor little thing, you're not going to make it. But I had some brandy left over from Christmas. I'd made fruitcake, bathed it in brandy. So I gave that little lamb a tablespoon of brandy, and it wasn't long till he was up in that box just jumping around. When Fred came to the house, he said, what in the world did you do to this little lamb? I said, I gave it a drink of whiskey. And he said, well, I tell you, sure is whiskey. I can take it back to the barn now. And so he took it back to the barn. That lamb did fine. So I decided that was a good thing to give the lambs when they were too cold.
How long did you have sheep?
Oh, I don't remember, really. I guess we had him as long as he lived.
Did you switch from the dairy farm to sheep, or did you have
yes.
both at the same time?
No, we switched. We got rid of the cows and had the sheep. We liked those better. They were easier to take care of. The cows were difficult in that they had to be milked twice a day. And I know once Fred was on jury duty, and he didn't come home. And somebody said, oh, he won't be home tonight because they went into night. They're going to have a night court. So I called up the courthouse and asked to speak to the judge. And they said I couldn't speak to the judge. Bobby Day was the deputy then. And he said, Miss Whipple, you can't speak to the judge. What did you want? I said, I want Fred to come home and milk these cows. They're standing around here bawling, and I can't milk the first one. And there's 60 of them down here wanting to be milked. So he said, well, I'll tell the judge, but don't be surprised if he doesn't come home tonight. So anyway, it wasn't long till Fred came. And he said, how in the world did you have the nerve to call up there and want to speak to the judge? I said, well, if you stood here and heard these cows bawling, wanting to be milked very long, it didn't take much nerve. And I didn't know what else to do.
Had Fred's family had a dairy before him?
No. No, he went into it cold turkey. But it was real successful. And we liked the sheep a lot better than the cattle. It didn't take as much work. And it was more profitable. Shear those sheep, have the wool to sell, and eat the lambs. Sheep was good business.
And along this time, Fred got involved with the bank too, right?
Yes. His father was instrumental in getting the bank, the first bank in Brandsburg.
Oh.
So Fred fell right into it. And he was always connected to the bank, and as long as it was there.
So that was wonderful. He was president of the board of directors for a while, right?
He was president of the bank for a long time. Mm-hmm.
I remember when I'd go into that bank, he'd always be there. Or he'd come in and check on how things were going.
Oh, he stayed there every day. He went to the bank. Jane Wade and Doris Lunsford ran the bank.
Jane trained Doris, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did. Jen Heffelfinger was in there, and her brother John, when I went to Brownsburg.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. They ran the bank as long as they were living.
Wow.
It was a nice little bank.
It certainly was.
Bank of Rockridge, Brownsburg.
Yeah.
There were three branches, I think. Racine and Fairfield and Brownsburg. had the three banks.
And then eventually they had a bank in Lexington.
Yes. We consolidated. So Brandsburg was a thriving little town with five stores and a bank and post office and a garage.
Garage is crucial.
A garage, and at that time, too, the blacksmith shop, because horses always had to be shod, or the wagons had to be fixed. So we had a nice blacksmith shop.
Where was that?
It was up on the corner as you come out of Brandsburg, going to Bustleburg, around that corner. There's a jump there now, but it was a good blacksmith shop.
Wow, I didn't know that.
You didn't?
No, I didn't know that's where the blacksmith shop.
They shod horses there.
And when you first started, were you just at the old school, and then they built the new school?
Yeah. When I went, they had condemned the old school there. We couldn't use the upstairs. Upstairs was an auditorium, but we couldn't use that because the building had been condemned, and they didn't want children up there. So they built a new school then. I don't know what date that was. Anyway.
But it's the old school that's still standing. You weren't there when the original school was...
Yes.
Oh, you were?
Yes. It was the Brownsburg Academy.
Ah.
The original.
And that building was torn down?
Yeah.
And the stucco building went up?
Yes.
And then, while you were still there, they built...
Built the big brick building. Mm-hmm. And also the little brick building on the hill behind, and that was a home economics and shop.
Oh.
The boys took agriculture and shop classes. During the war, they used the shop a lot to repair farm machinery that would break down, and they would have night classes, teach the farmers how to keep the machinery going.
Wow.
That was interesting. Everybody came to Brownsburg at night, on Saturday night. You couldn't get a place to park, hardly, because all the farmers came in and their wives with them, and they brought produce to trade at the store for groceries. And the men loafed in the stores, and the women loafed in the cars. The children played up and down the street. Saturday night was very special.
Sounds fun. How about Fred's family? How long had they lived in Brownsburg?
Oh, I don't know, for years. Years, and it was a big family. There were five boys and two girls in that family. And they had lived there. Mr. Whipple ran the store for years.
So Fred was the first one in the family to farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was. And the store that the Whipples had, they ran both the one that Dick Barnes has for antique shop, and where he lives, the house he lives in, was a store.
And the Whipples ran both of those?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
There were five stores when I went to Brandsburg. That was a Whipple store with a Sue Fingers, and the filling station, the Huffmans ran it, and the Weitzels had a store. That's three. The Farm Bureau ran a store. There's another one. Remember the fifth one?
That's all right. What was I going to ask you? So Fred, your husband, started farming.
Mm-hmm.
Now your son farms.
Yeah, and my grandson.
And your grandson.
That's right.
Grandson.
Yeah, that's all Robert's going to do, his farm.
And is he running doing his father's farm now?
Mm-hmm. Doing my place.
Oh, really?
Back in Brownsburg. He's going to have baby calves. He's fixed up a place in the barn and under the carport, I think he told me. Anyway, he's got it all ready to go into raising baby calves.
I think that's wonderful. So instead of being one of these old farm families, it's a new farm family.
That's right. That's right. That's all he wants to do.
And it started with your husband, not his parents. They were merchants.
Well, yeah. Well, Robert's father farmed.
Yes, I know that.
And
his grandfather farmed.
Mm-hmm. And Robert, he could fix anything. He just had that kind of mind. So anytime in the family anybody had something broken, they'd call Robert to come fix it. And he could fix it, usually. And one day he was fixing, Fred told him to fix the radio in his car. It wasn't working. So I looked out. Robert went out there and worked on it a while. I looked out to see what he was doing, and he had all the parts up on the roof of the car. And then he came in and sat down. So I said, Robert, what's going on out there? Have you got it all fixed? He said, I'm thinking. Don't bother me. I'm thinking. So I didn't say anything more. After a while, he got up and went out there and put all that stuff back in the car somewhere, and the radio was still running.
Wow.
He got it fixed.
That's wonderful.
That told me when he said, I'm thinking.
Well, he went to tech, and Freddie went to tech. How about Fred?
No, he didn't, but my father went to tech.
Oh, wow.
And that's what Robert said when he was going. Would I write something for him to get him in? And I said, you just tell him that you are the fifth generation to be a tech student to come. Your great-grandfather went to tech. And I said, that'll get you in. And it did. That's a picture of my father with his tech uniform on. See the high collar?
Oh, yeah.
That's what the uniform had then.
Wow. Well, this is really fun, Molly Sue. Do you have any other thing you want to say, or can we just, do you want to just close out?
I'll close out.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Start rambling.